Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com. Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
I'm ZD Donahue.
And we're continuing our Stabilizer series. I won't sing the Stabilizer song again. You have to go back. If you didn't hear my Bee Gees
rendition,
you'll have to go back to the previous episode.
So I wonder if they would be flattered or freaked.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Was it? I believe that there was recently a documentary
about them.
Yes, probably like just recently published.
Because they're like my age, and they have to make a documentary really fast before everybody dies.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Are they all alive? I don't even know.
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
When you said that, as I said that, I thought, I wonder if they're all still alive. They might not be.
Okay. So today we're talking about tearaway stabilizers. And these are the ones, we use these a lot in garment sewing, I think.
These are more commonly.
These are kind of that best kept secret.
Stick it under the tailor tack. Yeah. You stick it under a buttonhole. Reinforce stitching someplace. Whatever.
This is that life changing advice about the buttonholes. Put some tearaway stabilizer under there, and people are like, "Oh my gosh!" You know.
And if you listen to the first in the series, it's where I started talking about. It was like the basic stabilizer. You'll learn a lot about first. When I thought we were doing tearaway first, because that would have been my choice, but no, that's not what was listed on the package we were going from. So tearaway is probably your most basic and maybe the first stabilizer you learned about.
I totally agree. There's lots of ways to like structure teaching about stabilizers. Yeah. And I think I have started with tearaways first.
Well, I think because you in the past, you generally, if you're teaching someone to machine embroider, you will also start on woven fabric.
That's right.
It's so, more stable. It's easier to hoop. There's not as much... I don't want to say guesswork. I want to say...
Oh, no, I think you're right.
Guesswork, or what do you call it after you've accomplished skill? At doing, you know...
There's less variation in wovens than there is in knits. So what if you need a little refresher, cutaway stabilizers, if you're going to embroider on a knit, you have to use a cutaway.
Right.
Okay, we talked about that last time. And so tearaways are appropriate for wovens.
Right.
And... they are easier to work with. It's easier to embroider on a fabric that does not stretch. It's easier to hoop them.
Right.
Easier to work with them, you know.
And a tearaway stabilizer, if you go with the name, does get torn away or, you know, pulled away. We can talk about how I'm doing that a little bit, too.
Because
some people really do tear it away, and it will tear away, you'll distort your stitches. Your stitches. So, you know, tearaway is... just really the basic. Just like, I guess, when most people learn to sew. They learn to sew on like a quilting cotton or a muslin or something. Because it's very basic. The stitches are straightforward. You know, this would be sort of where tearaway, hits in that sort of continuum.
So the first stabilizer we're going to talk about is called Tear Easy. So this is like a mid-weight tearaway. With no fusible, no glue at all on it.
Very plain looking, kind of like a Pellon, but very light.
Yeah, and you know what is sort of not in this sampler pack is a heavy tearaway.
Yeah.
Okay, which is something that when we were talking about a canvas bag
right.
on the last podcast, sometimes you do want a little bit of a heavier tearaway.
So you want a heavier one, or you can use two layers of this one.
That's right. So this is Tear Easy. And here, let's talk about Tear Easy.
So the if you handed me that the cutaway that we first talked about, which was called Soft and Sheer, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And you handed me this, how would I be able to tell the difference without a label?
Well, you could try and tear it.
Oh, yes.
And the tear easy tears so easy.
It tears like paper.
Yes, the tearaway stabilizer.
And to tell you the truth, I'm pretty sure it is a paper product.
Well,
but
yeah.
It's not woven and put together with the same sort of what should I call it? Glue? What do you call it? Like a bonding agent,
mm-hmm.
you know, as paper. So it's different. Paper will not give you this support.
Yeah, well, and this is a little see-through. And once again, you can see those fibers like we talked about with our first cutaway.
And it's non-woven.
Mm-hmm. So having a tear, there are crappy tearaway stabilizers out there. And
yes,
what makes them crappy and what ZD was talking about is, so after I embroider on my woven fabric, okay, mm-hmm. Whether it's a garment or a bag or whatever, I get to tear away this stabilizer because my fabric's not going to stretch in the future, okay? So I get to tear it away, and it can go almost all the way completely away. I can tear away the circle that is left in the middle of the O mm-hmm. in the name Mallory,
right.
Okay? With a cutaway, you just kind of trim close
right.
to all of that.
Around the outside of the O.
Yes,
you would probably leave the inside of the
yes,
O.
Yes, yeah, I would leave the inside of the O, especially if it was small, okay, with a cutaway. But with this tearaway, I can get in there. People like to use tweezers, mm-hmm. okay, on the back of a terry cloth towel. People don't want any stabilizer
My
left there,
favorite
right?
thing is a very, very small, slim flathead screwdriver.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, I like to use the tweezers and just not open them.
Yeah.
You know, and
same
slide
difference.
Them under.
And
yeah,
I've done that too.
Very,
yeah.
Very true. So if you have a tearaway that doesn't tear easily, it can be tough to get out of there and you can distort your stitches.
Right. It should not be a struggle away.
Yeah, it shouldn't be a struggle away. And then you need to be nice too. You can't just go in there like a mad person. You should, with one hand, support your embroidery
right.
somehow.
I hold between my fingers
like
the
it.
Stitches I'm mm-hmm. pulling away from. So mm-hmm. I'm holding them and pulling away. And you will see people rip it off and you can tell the difference.
I think
they'll
start
their stitches.
I think
yeah.
they get excited or something. They're like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, I can tear this away, so I should just act like, I don't know,
right.
trying to come like some cartoon character that's tearing up.
I think
up
it's like
paper.
I've got permission to tear, so I'm going to tear.
Yes. So
tear away.
Do support your stitches as you are gently removing the stabilizer. If you are trying to get into little areas, you know, you can get
well,
in there with a tool.
And if they're tiny, tiny areas and mm-hmm. you think you're going to distort your embroidery, leave it. Because probably with washing, it will soften up and not really matter.
Yeah. Like if I'm doing something for myself or something that was on the interior of something, I don't get too terribly picky. Now, we would have employees and customers sometimes who were in there with like needles and
yeah.
magnifying glasses and, you know, they were doing
surgery.
And we
surgery. Were on to our third, fourth project
right.
from that.
You
yeah.
know, you can get as picky ha, 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 as you want when you're removing this. But that is the thing is heavier tear away can be harder to remove.
Yes. That's why, honestly, I kind of like two layers.
That's
I'd rather, yeah, I can
rather
remove a layer at a time
Amen.
If I want to.
Amen. So that's just your normal basic tear away. All it does is tear away. It doesn't fuse. So the next one in our kit is totally stable. Okay. It is really thin. And the texture on it is more homogeneous than the Tear Easy.
Right.
Okay. It's much finer. And it has fusible on it. And there's it's not bumpy.
It's
just
very
shiny.
Smooth and shiny.
It's very shiny.
Yeah.
And it's really lightweight. And the first person who introduced me to this particular product, you know, totally stable from Sulky, was Karen Lindeska.
Uh-huh.
So she's an art quilter, and she showed it to us as, okay, I'm going to put one layer under here. I'm going to start doing a bunch of decorative stitching on my fabric. And when I have eaten up my stabilizer, I'm going to slide another layer under.
Oh, okay.
Because she built up the, remember?
And did she iron it on?
No, not all the time.
Not always.
I think maybe like her first one sometimes.
The first one, right.
But she would just slide more under because it was like you've been saying, throughout this series, oh, I can just put another layer. I can just put another layer. That's actually kind of how this was developed. Like, it's so thin. Because occasionally people would come in and be like, that's way too thin. Like, why would I use that? And I'm like, well, it actually does kind of cater to, like, the applique decorative stitch crowd more than, like, your 50,000 stitch
punch machine,
you know, embroidery design punch machine, like you said. So it's this really thin one, but this is what we included when we did that What's Up button up kit for buttonholes on your button up shirts. And you don't have to fuse it. So we've been saying this over and over again. So if you don't fuse it, here's my hot tip. Actually put the fusible side down toward the bed of the machine.
Because it's slicker.
Because it's slick. So the whole reason that we recommend the tearaway with buttonholes is not only does it support the stitches, but it helps the feed dogs to have just a uniform surface to grab onto. Like, I don't know, picture yourself doing buttonholes on something that's a little uneven, like sometimes plackets can be.
Right.
The stabilizer acts as, you know, a help for that too. So if you're not going to fuse it, you can actually put that away from the fabric and it kind of, it slides a little bit more easily on the machine. In fact, I don't fuse my stabilizers when I do buttonholes. Do you? I don't.
No. No, I don't.
Yeah, generally no.
Well, because a lot of times I've got kind of like a strip or straps or something. So I stick it under there. I do one buttonhole. And when the next buttonhole comes in, I stick
yeah,
what's
tear it
left
away,
over.
Put it under. Put it under. No, you can. I mean, how many buttonholes could you theoretically
Well, get? And that's what we, you know, when we would tell people, you might want to save your scraps.
Yeah.
Have a scrap bag of your stabilizers and have them mark on them what they are.
Right.
You know, because sometimes it's harder to tell on a little piece or whatever. But because... I mean, I never take, I can't even remember ever taking like a new cut off of a roll of stabilizer for a buttonhole.
I think I have gone and cut off like a strip before, you know, it has
happened. I mean, generally it's been, you know, a leftover. Right, a leftover.
And this totally stables so much thinner. So even though that tear easy is like nice and lightweight and tears away nicely, if I'm doing a buttonhole where I do want the stuff to like go away completely afterwards, you know, I do want something even lighter weight. So all it's doing is supporting that buttonhole while I'm, you know, going through that process. Like you said, so how many buttonholes would fit on like this 8x5,
like
100 or something?
Yeah. I don't know.
Depending on how big they are.
Depending on how well you space them.
Yes,
I don't
exactly.
Know.
No, and I've done this before. I'm like, oh, try to scoot it over. I mean, don't try and skimp too much because you'll be happy that you have the extra support there. But that totally stable, that is something if we were to say at the end of the episode, like, which one would I order right away?
Right.
Get that in your sewing room. You'll be happy to have a roll of it. Now, Sulky, something we haven't covered, Sulky and other brands, they'll sell their stabilizers in different formats. You know, they'll sell it in... This is 100 8.5x11 sheets.
Right.
This is a 3-yard roll. This is a 10-yard roll.
This is a roll that's, you know, this wide. This roll is, you know, 12 inches wide. This roll is 8 inches wide.
Yeah.
That type of thing. So if you are doing like big embroidery, you might want to look for the one that's 12 inches wide.
Right. Or you may find that it's slightly less expensive in the larger quantity or something.
Right.
So, you know, you can weigh your options there.
And depending on what you're doing, sometimes say you will have too much waste with one size versus the other. And it might be the big size that you have waste with.
That's
it just
right.
depends.
Yeah.
You know, it just depends on
your
what
hoop,
you're doing. Right.
I always think of the pre-cut sheets as like when they sell the pre-cut parchment paper on cooking.
Oh yeah.
They'll sell like rounds.
Yeah,
you
know, I've never bought those either.
Yeah.
I throw my cake pan down and draw a circle on it.
I do too. Although sometimes I'm like, yeah, I could see just ordering a pack. It would last me a long time.
But you see people that make cupcakes in those little parchment papers and muffins? Those look so cute.
Yes.
I've never done that.
I've thought about ordering some rounds.
Yeah.
I think it would last me maybe 2 years because I don't make like a cake every week or anything. But anyway.
You probably wind up using them in sewing and paper piecing or something.
Or something else. I do cook a lot on parchment paper.
No, I do too.
Like I'll make a pizza. And I'm like, I'm putting this.
Actually, I just bought some of the silicone sheets. Yeah. You know, the, and I've been using them quite a bit.
Okay.
Especially when it comes to like meat.
Well, there's our little tangent for today. So those are two of the
Tearaway. I don't use Tearaway or Tear Easy when I'm making meat. No.
Didn't we talk about though, like we saw some videos and someone put like paper tape in their oven. They taped something down. And then Ina Garten put like binder clips on something.
Yes,
and put it in her oven.
Yes, but then too, there was a lot of people going, don't put your oven over 350, you know, if you're going to use the binder clips because the paint falls off.
And I'm like,
Ina did use binder clips. I am a binder clip freak.
I mean, I
use binder clips like for everything.
I'd be happy to learn if I could use those. Okay,
I use binder clips a lot.
Let's take a little break and we'll come back and talk about the other two tearaways that are in this sampler pack. ZD, what's your favorite way to measure yourself?
With my Easy Check tape measure.
So tell me a little bit about this.
It's the only way to measure myself, I think.
Why is it so magical?
Well, because there's a slide on it.
Uh-huh.
You actually snap one end of the tape measure into the back of the slide, and then you fit it to the measurement, and then you can unsnap, and the slide remains on the place that you've measured.
So if you're trying to measure your arm.
Right.
Or your underbust.
Right.
Or your head. Oh, yeah. The head. Right. Definitely.
Well, and, you know, measuring yourself is one thing, but even measuring somebody else, what it does is it marks the spot, basically, where the measurement is. And so if I'm, and this happens to you, that you're measuring somebody and they start talking to you and you're like, was that 21 or 23? Oh, my gosh.
Right.
And where with this, you know, the slide has marked it.
I also have heard feedback from customers who say, I am sending this to my daughter or, you know, so that she can measure my grandchildren.
That's
and it
right.
will be accurate.
Right.
Right?
Well, we've actually had trainers, too,
yep.
that bought these, you know, for their customers or they themselves use it for their customers or it was a male trainer and a female client. He didn't have to put his hands on the person
right.
or whatever.
Also, this tape measure, when you use it with a snap, it's impossible to work from the wrong side.
That's the other thing.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you can't measure from the 60 end. You have to measure
from the zero end. Yes.
Right. Right. And I said 60, but, you know, it also has the millimeters on the other side, too. So you've got...
you have imperial. And you have metric.
Metric, right.
And so the Easy Check tape measure makes it very simple when you are trying to measure yourself and you just don't want to be fumbling around.
Well, and I think, you know, the thing is, don't order one. Because if somebody sees it, a husband or a daughter or just a friend, I mean, honestly, at Christmas time, I would put this like in almost everybody's stocking stuffer. And I think it's a great thing to like send away to college with people, things like that.
Where fabulous.
You want something measured.
Well, if you're interested in your own Easy Check tape measure, you can see a video on how it works at sewhere.com/tape measure. And you can check it out for yourself.
Sewing out loud.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
And we're back. Okay, sticky and stiffy, Mom.
Yeah,
the last 2 weeks.
It's the two kinds of popcorn you can get.
Yeah, okay.
Sticky and stiffy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So I lied. Let's cover that first.
Okay, Mallory lied to you again.
I lied. I said, oh, the one thing missing is a heavyweight tearaway. Yeah,
but we have Stiffy.
We have Stiffy here, which in the description in the stabilizer pack says, heavyweight temporary stabilizer. And how Sulky is touting this is so funny, is it's heavy, it can support more stitches, but with effortless removal. So they feel that they have engineered this product to give that extra support.
So you've got...
But then not be too hard to tear
away. A good stiff tear away that's not a struggle away.
That's right. Struggle away. I'm on the struggle away bus.
That's right.
I love it. Yeah, I don't think this is not fusible, is it?
No.
No, it does not say it's fusible. Okay, cool. So... That's nice. Oh, and you know, just because I'm looking at this right now, we were talking about how they sell it and stuff. Sulky has these clamshells that their stabilizers come in, and it's kind of nice because you can put those rolls.
They
back
are nice.
In there.
It, you know, it's the exact shape of the roll, and you just and you just put them back.
Yeah,
together.
I know that we're all trying to reduce our plastic consumption, but I do like. How? Because you want to protect your stabilizers from light and dust and moisture.
Oh, and here they say all Sulkies come in 8-inch, 12-inch, or 20-inch.
Oh, rolls.
So that's the width.
Yeah. Oh, and reusable clamshell storage container. That's what I called it without reading it. I could just write Sulky's copy, apparently.
Well, and the thing about the stabilizers is they can't age.
Oh, yeah.
And especially if you have the glue, okay, the glue will come off, you know, or so it will evaporate sort of with the air or whatever. And it can become brittle and crisp. It really can.
Yeah, so fusible could become brittle and crisp.
Right.
We are going to talk about washaways in the next episode, and those are ones that can definitely degrade with too much light heat, not enough humidity,
Time. So just like anything else, they can degrade. And, you know, people who embroider a lot don't even put it back in the clamshell.
They're
throwing
like,
it on the table and whatever. But, you know, you may not do that. Or sometimes people embroider a lot and then stop for a while.
Right.
Or, you know, whatever. Or you embroider a lot around Christmas and not other times or you know, graduation time, something like that. So, obviously, we all use different products in different ways and at different times.
Okay, let's talk about this one. I'd say this is like a controversial stabilizer here. This next one, the sticky stuff.
Oh.
Okay. You don't think so?
I'll tell you something. When this came out, I thought I was in freaking heaven.
Oh, really?
Okay. Well, yeah, because we didn't have anything stuck to.
I just feel like so many people bitched about this.
Well, here's the deal. And we had, you know, like one or two sizes of embroidered hoops. I'm talking 30 years ago now, right? You know, 25, 30 years ago. So this came out. And you could hoop the stabilizer and then take off, you know, this cover paper that's on it, right? And peel away, and you had the sticky surface.
You just pop things on
there. And you just pop things on there. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. It was like heaven, heaven, heaven.
Okay.
So what you used to do before this is you would hoop your tearaway stabilizer, right? Mm-hmm. And then you would move your garment or whatever around, and then you had to pin it or tape it down and sit there and hold it and hope for the best. I mean, no, I thought this was wonderful.
So Mom's talking about, and what this is often used for, is stuff you can't hoop.
Right.
Okay, that's why it exists.
And I'm talking about what we did in the dark ages of hooping.
Yeah, so the reason you would use this is if you can't hoop a project, like you're sticking down the flap of a backpack that isn't completely hoopable.
Or a child's garment that doesn't fit in the hoop. Mm-hmm. Like the hoop's too big, it's bigger than the garment.
That's right. There's two ways I know of to use this stuff.
Yes, there are.
Well, I guess maybe there's three.
There's three.
You got three.
I'm thinking of three.
Okay. So in machine embroidery, the fabric needs to go down toward the bed of the machine. Okay. And actually, though, I've been seeing a lot of like hand embroidery people embroidering like that.
Oh, where they flip the hoop the other way.
Yeah. And I think it's, I mean, I hate to like use the word wrong. I don't care. Like, but I was always taught to do it the other way.
I'm not sure it matters on hand embroider.
I think that would keep stuff out of your way.
Which way?
The correct way where the fabric's closest to you. Uh-huh. Yeah, so the other fabric can fall
see it
down.
Better, maybe. Yeah.
You know, whereas
it's true. That's true, right? Because it has to come up and fold over the edges.
I don't think it would affect your like finished product.
So maybe you can tell by how they're doing it where they learned their first embroidery.
Yeah. And I mean, I've just seen some people who've got huge Instagram followings. I'm like, oh, I hoop it the other way. So anyway.
I say hoop it the way you can do it best.
Now, not with machine embroidery, though. You have to. You can't hoop it the other way.
No, you have to have your fabric on the bed of the machine.
Yes. So we have seen people do it wrong that way in class. Because we've heard it happen. And the reason they did it that way is because they were taught.
Right.
How to embroider that way. It also won't work with how the hoop attaches to the machine
very well. Not usually. Sometimes you just can't do it.
I'm always impressed.
Sometimes you can hoop it, but you can't get the hoop to attach.
I'm impressed by people's ingenuity.
It is amazing sometimes what people can do.
Like, you must have smashed that.
Or embroider without that embroidery foot, too.
Yep, there you go. Yeah. You must have smashed that in the machine. So since this stuff is sticky, it's like contact paper. It has a slick wax paper topping on it that you peel away at some point. So I've seen this done three ways, okay? You hoop it all, okay? You hoop the stabilizer, and then you take like a sewing machine needle or a straight pin, and you draw an X once. Do not do it more than once.
You're trying only to go through the wax paper
part. That's right. And then you can peel away those four triangles you've made. And that always was kind of my preferred way to do it.
I think that's the way I did it the most, yeah.
However, the second way I think is really valid. You peel away the contact paper, and you smack the inner hoop on top of the sticky, and then you hoop it. Okay?
Okay. Yes.
Okay? Uh-huh. So it is sticking to the inner hoop. The previous way we described, it's not sticking to the hoop. Nope. We've just exposed. Now, but the problem with this is when you unpeel that paper, it furls up the stabilizer, and sometimes you can like stick it to something you didn't mean to stick it to, like your table, like it turns upside down. Okay, at least that happens to me.
I was gonna say the drawback is the glue gets on the hoop,
and then the second drawback is the glue gets on the hoop. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So both of those things.
I have a story.
Are reasons that we don't.
Yeah.
We maybe don't prefer to do it that way.
So I'm thinking of four ways now. I just thought it because. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, were you gonna? What was your story?
Well, another way similar to that is people have their hoops together.
That was the third way.
And they just lay both hoops down, you know, on the sticky.
Yeah. Okay. That's my third way.
Well, you could also stick it to the back of the fabric first and then hoop it.
Okay. That would kind of defeat
redundant.
The purpose. Yeah.
Yes. I agree. But it stabilizes your fabric.
Yeah.
No. Well, no. It's not totally.
No,
you know,
it's
dumb.
Not totally dumb.
It stabilizes your fabric if people have trouble. Mm-hmm. Some people have had strokes or they have, you know.
Dexterity issues,
arthritis or whatever
it is. No, it's very valid.
It might make it, you know, easier for them to hoop. Now, my story is.
Okay, what's your story? Morning Glory.
Woman comes in and she goes, I found it on the internet. When the internet was new.
The internet.
Yeah, you know, everybody thought the internet was gospel like they do now. But anyway, it's like, I found out how to get the sticky stuff off my hoop.
Yeah.
And she has a bottle of aqua velvet. Do you know what aqua velvet is?
Is it aftershave?
It's aftershave.
I mean, it would work like alcohol.
Because we were telling everybody to use alcohol, but she found aqua velva.
Aqua velva.
And I can't remember, but I diplomatically did explain to her that aqua velva was basically alcohol with a few little drops of scented oil in it.
Right, right.
Andrew didn't have to smell like that.
Well, it was so strong. What if she liked it?
Oh, no. She stood there and used it, and the whole place.
It was like,
everybody was like, I
smells
can't,
like
I
a
can't,
bachelor
I,
in here.
I can't breathe there. It smells like a cheap man in here, whatever. Anyway.
So I wanted to share a story, Derek, about this.
Was it as good as my uncle?
No, it's not as good. But you were talking about putting the hoop together and then sticking it on the paper. And okay, I don't recommend that. That scares.
No.
If you do it and it works for you, I'm so happy for you. But, the concept chills me to the bone, okay? So it's like, what if it rips? What if it comes away from the hoop? Because I've seen people, it's like they'll wrap it around the hoop.
Well, no, they wrap it around the hoop sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're trying
to like seal it off.
Yeah, yeah. Like, so what they're trying to do is secure it.
I don't know why they aren't just hooping it, but yeah, go ahead.
But it scares me. I just see so many things that could go wrong.
Well, the other thing too is then you can barely get it off. Now, maybe it's, the product's better. I haven't stuck it on a hoop in a long time.
I was talking
so
about people bitching. Okay.
Yeah.
So here we go. People were like, oh, don't use that sticky. It gums up your needle. It dulls your needle. Hey, do you sell a sticky stabilizer that doesn't gum up your needle? Blah, right. blah, blah. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm just, we didn't carry it for a little while because I was just so sick of people complaining about it that I was like,
go
whatever.
Buy it at another store and bitch to them.
I'm just not dealing with it. So first of all, I've used it a lot. And maybe the product is, you know, better now, and I'm talking about like 8 years ago that I used it a lot, and it didn't gum up my needle more than anything else because you do go through the sticky, but I feel like the needle goes back up through the fabric and gets kind of like cleaned
off. Well,
it does.
And here's where here's where your alcohol swabs come in, everybody.
And those
and
of you,
those we had in the package, the same refresh package.
Yes. And did you get it that I put the alcohol pads in the insulated
alcohol wine cup?
Ha ha. Okay.
So the alcohol was in the cup.
Yeah. The alcohol was in the wine glass. It was supposed to be a funny joke.
So honestly, alcohol is one of those things that's nice to have in your studio.
Yeah. So if you notice, if you think your needle's getting gummy or you're on your like fifth bag that you've done with sticky stabilizer, just go ahead and pause and just swipe your needle.
And the other reason alcohol is pretty good to have in your sewing area is it usually doesn't, you know, aquavelva. Then you'll be able to find that aquavelva man. It is aromatic. So anyway, alcohol rarely hurts a fabric either. So if you do spill it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it even dye. A lot of times it won't bother dye.
Oh, really?
So it's a relative, you know, it's almost as safe as water.
Okay. So it's like, okay, you're probably not going to hurt
anything. Right. You're not going to dissolve something that's plastic or acetate or where, you know, there are things, there are like acetone. Will dissolve things,
okay,
you know, and it will mark things and mar them and things like that. So, you know, alcohol is a fairly safe thing to be cleaning with.
This sticky stabilizer will, okay, one reason you might want to have it in your sewing room, we've talked about spray.
Let's call it aquavelva stabilizer. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
We've talked about spray adhesive. And there were people who were just like, I'll mess with that stuff. Like, I'm not spraying anything around myself, you know? And so if you are someone who is very,
adamant against aerosols.
Yes. Then you can still get the stickiness by getting this sticky stabilizer. However, in our video about how to embroider a terry cloth towel, I use spray adhesive, and I am hesitant to use this sticky stuff on a loopy fabric like terry cloth, okay?
Because you pull it away and you pull the loops.
It is stickier than when you spray.
Well, and I will tell you, it's not as bad as it used to be.
Sure.
It did improve,
yes.
You know. But like I said, when it first came out, I was absolutely thrilled.
But like, where would I not use it? Maybe on some, like on a terry cloth towel.
Even though I don't like poop. A fragile fat. I would not use it on something fragile.
Okay.
I would tend to go to
the spray.
Well,
the spray is much more temporary than this.
Yes.
So like if you spray something and you stick it down to your hoop and then you don't get to embroider it for 24 hours, well, you're out of luck.
Right.
It's worn off probably.
And this is not very positionable.
No. Well,
it's not as positionable as the spray, I don't think.
I think if you do it quickly.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're like, you know, then it's not too bad. But you're right. You're very correct that it's not quite as positionable as the spray. But it's not like you lay it down and then.
No. It's not like it sucks it.
It's there forever. But I agree that I think there were some that were overly sticky in the past. Okay, for sure.
They swear this tears away easy.
Yeah, someone might be listening, though, and be like, no, I'm never going to use it. But when people put their whole hoop on it, you know, and if that's your jam, that's fine. But it scares me. Okay,
And this is, Let's go back to the terry cloth because I just don't want to confuse people.
Oh, okay.
So this is suggested a lot of times for fabrics with nap, sort of like your velvets, things like that, because you're trying not to interfere with that nap by spraying something on it or pressing
or
something on
it,
putting heat to it or something like that. But when it comes to terry cloth, you know, it's not so much that terry cloth has a nap, but it has that loopiness, right? So it will tend to pull those loops off the back because they're on both sides.
Yeah, but velvet doesn't have like, it on the back, right?
Right. The other fabrics we're talking about, corduroy, velvet.
So it says ultra suede here too. Well,
ultra suede's one.
So
right.
Did you even,
velour, fleece. It says fleece.
Yeah, so what you're avoiding there is what we call hoop burn.
Right.
Or an imprint made by the hoop. So once again, this is a nice way to avoid hooping if you can't hoop something.
Right.
Hoop when you can. But I do a lot of embroidery without hooping because it's what has to be. It's what must be done.
Okay? I'm going to give one of my standard little platitudes that I would give to people. Sometimes someone would come in and say, how do I embroider a towel? Or how do I, you know, stabilize a towel to embroider it? And I would be telling them. And someone else would be standing there that maybe had been a longer-term customer, and they'd say, now, that's not what you told me. And I would say, well, what did I tell you? Uh-huh. And then they would repeat it, and I would say, is that working for you? And are you happy with that? And they'd say, yes. And I'd say, that's okay. Sometimes new products come in, things change, but if you're doing something and it works, you don't have to change to the new way.
Yeah, yeah, okay. For sure. Also, I just unpeeled the waxy paper to reveal the sticky, and it's very soft.
Very soft, like, compared to the other
I'm putting
stuff,
my finger on it. I'm lifting them
and
up.
They come off.
Yeah, it's not like, oh, I can't.
It doesn't drag your fingerprints
off. Yeah, well, and it doesn't even barely, like, you know, come up with me, you know, too bad. So that's nice. So they've
Well, you know, I think another thing formulated. That's nice is with embroidery machines, embroidery areas are bigger and more open now.
Yeah.
You know, the throat is, you know, bigger on this machine. It's very much easier, you guys, than it used to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Much easier. So this sticky stuff is not something that I feel like I would die without if I went on a desert island.
So it might not be the thing that you have to have the day you buy your embroidery machine.
But I do like spray adhesive.
I do too.
So if I didn't like spray adhesive, this
you'd have
might,
to have some sticky.
Yeah, this might be actually very useful.
You might have to have that.
And we did an episode on like what to buy when you get an embroidery machine. You know, so we talk about
now,
the three basic
I've had people say, well, I just take a glue stick and use my tear away.
Okay. They're like,
why did they do that, Mallory?
I don't know.
I don't either.
Works for them.
I guess, but it scares me too. Talk about gunking up your machine.
People use glue sticks
a lot.
Sewing a lot. And okay, so it must work for some people, I guess. But people will glue based garments.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that glue, like, we've been talking about products
right,
that
we've
have
been talking
glue
about
on
products
them.
That so have glue on them, yes.
It just seems like it would be very wet.
I
don't know.
That's the thing. There's glues that are made, you know, to go on the machine, right?
Yeah.
And I think they're pretty easy to clean out of the machine or, you know, where a glue stick is this sticky, you know.
Do you like wait till it dries?
Well, sometimes if you wait till it dries, it doesn't hold very well.
Well, yeah. So,
it depends. Like you said, people use it.
Yeah.
So I guess I'd rather use like two-sided tape, I think.
Right. Like Wonder Tape.
And I have used two-sided tape to embroider with.
Yeah. Also.
I tried to make sure it was out of my embroidery field.
Yeah. Absolutely. Right. For sure. You know, same thing where you're talking about pins or whatever. But yeah, I was just reading actually a Palmer Pletch book that talks about glue basting garments.
They're say Pletch and I say Plesh. I wonder what it is.
It's got a T in it. It's like TSCH.
That is right.
I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah.
But it could be Plesh. But I say Pletch. I don't know.
Is it a hard T or soft T?
And yeah, who knows? Well, we could ask. But it would not be my preferred way.
No.
To do it. So anyway, Just keep that in mind. But if you're glue sticking it.
Well, I don't like glue around my machine. If I'm going to spray glue something, I am so far away from my machine, I cannot tell you.
Oh, my God, except that we shot that towel video, and I spray near the machine.
Well, and sometimes with the shot, it looks like it's so close.
Well, we were doing it, like, for that video. It's
right.
I don't stand behind my machine and embroider towels, generally, you know, and so...
So that's different, too, in that. Real life.
Yes.
Sometimes that's why videos, you know, teaching videos to everything.
Well, we weren't advanced enough at that time to have, like, separate B-roll.
We didn't know
like,
we had an A and a B-roll.
We would have gone over and been like, spray the hoop in a box, you know. So we left that out. But that's one of our most watched videos still. So people get to comment all the time and be like, don't spray. Did you see the silk dupioni thing? Someone said I should not say silk dupioni.
Oh, because
I
they
should
said
say dupioni silk.
Right.
But I said the dupioni is the weave, just right. like we can say silk satin and silk taffeta.
Right.
We can say silk dupioni.
Right.
But what I was referencing was when someone mislabeled it silk poopioni. So
yeah, we had an employee that we had. You know, boxes with fabric in them, and we had them labeled. And she was making new labels that were easier to read. And I guess she just didn't.
Like the first label was handwritten.
And
so she thought the D was a P.
Yeah.
You know?
So we had poopioni, and we didn't change it. We left it poopioni.
Yes.
So maybe you should have just said poopioni and really freaked that person out.
Well, I was telling that story, so they knew about it. But yeah, they said I should say dupioni.
Well, I sold silk dupioni for about a decade. So, like,
well, I thought, am I
the people that sold it to me didn't correct me.
Yeah, I was like, am I wrong? And I looked up like several fabric stores,
right.
and lots of people listed that way. So I was like, okay, clearly it's like an acceptable, you know, terminology. And silk taffeta, silk satin, silk dupioni, you know, whatever adjectives can come before nouns in lots of languages too. So how about that? Or after or before or whatever. Okay, ZD. We're going to wrap this one up. Those were the tearaways. Those are the ones I think that are the like best kept secrets away from garment sewers that they need to – you need to go order some Totally Stable right now. For if you're like, ZD and Mallory,
listen
why
to whatever Mallory
why are you
says.
Talking about embroidery?
I know we get a lot of criticism, and I kind of like it. But when somebody says, I did this and ZD changed my life, or I did this and ZD and Mallory or Mallory, I just get all turned on and all fuzzy about it.
All of the mean comments just fall away.
They fall away. They fall away.
Someone says that we have helped them.
Yes.
Okay, ZD, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.